It's an unclean spirit. Jesus cast out an unclean spirit from a man who interrupted him. The unclean spirit places in the Bible, well, they make me uncomfortable. And I've said this before. They really do. They really make me uncomfortable. Because in the time of Jesus, folks with brain disorders or mental illness issues, they were thought to be possessed by unclean spirits or demons. And that idea has carried through in religious circles long after medicine has identified brain disorders, mental illness, and has found ways, in many instances, to treat those things. We all live with some mental health something in our lives. To stigmatize a person with mental illness to say that they have an unclean spirit, well, it does a great disservice. To the pray away the demon kind of theology, it's harmful to folks who suffer from mental illness or brain disorders. I do believe that God is capable of healing any illness, and that God is giving us the ability to continually find more effective treatments to disease. That's why we go to doctors. So merely praying away the demon ignores God's presence in medicine as well as in prayer. So I struggle with the casting out demons parts in the Bible because I wonder how things would have been different if brain illness was treated as any other illness. I wonder if Jesus didn't get that brain disorders are something that can be treated just like illnesses can be treated. Illness. So there's that. But then I also wonder, Jesus healed people who couldn't see, and he healed people who couldn't walk, and he woke up people who had died, and he didn't make a huge deal about anything as he was doing it. There's no parade, no giant sideshow, as would have been the practice for the healers. There's nothing for people to be distracted by so that Jesus could do his magic. In this case, Jesus cast out an unclean spirit without any kind of fancy rituals. And when the man was healed, folks got that Jesus was something way outside what they had experienced. He speaks with one with authority, not as the scribes. The scribes would always say, here are the several different positions that different rabbis have said, and let's discuss it. And Jesus was teaching with authority, as in, I am the one you should listen to. He didn't always do that. He taught in parables. He asked people to wonder in question, but they were amazed at this unknown coming out there and speaking with that kind of authority. These people experienced something new. Jesus was the real thing, while other people were just pretenders. He cured the man with the brain disorder, with the mental illness of the affliction that the people would have understood him to have, an unclean spirit. He announced that this man was no longer afflicted and was restored to the community. So Jesus' way is one of restoration, not disdain. Wonder if you've ever treated someone with a brain disorder or a mental illness or any disability as an outcast who just needed to snap out of it. That kind of is the way that I grew up. That was it, just snap out of it. Jesus' way of restoration is also one that has everything to do with justice and witness for those, or justice and love for those who are outcast. So, what are you? What am I? What are we? But as individuals doing, how are we involved in community too to bring restoration and justice to those who are outcast? Because that is part. That's a huge part. It is the part of what the church is. Jesus' witness, Jesus' actions, Jesus' life calls us not to be a place where everyone behaves well and where we learn how to stay out of trouble and live successful lives. What Jesus calls us to think, to do, to be is a community that reaches out in restoration. That's what we're called to do. We got financial issues. Yep. We've got uncertainty issues. We're struggling with how we're going to be as a church in the coming months ahead. We spent the fall imagining out loud, discussing to come up with an overarching vision for St. Paul's and the vision The vision panel is still working on trying to put all of this together. Over Christmas, I know, we took a breather. We took Advent and observed Advent. And we've got every reason to decide that it's time to take a breather. We need to do that sometimes. It also, it's time to regroup. Take care of the minimum that we need to do for a while. Yeah, we've done that. But taking care of the minimum, it isn't what Jesus witnessed, Jesus' actions, or Jesus' life calls us to do. Jesus' actions, Jesus' witness, Jesus' life calls us to restoration, inclusion, attention, action. That is the way Jesus calls us. It's always time to be community. It's always time to be a community that lives restoration, that lives inclusion, that lives attention, that lives action. That's now. How do we do that? How do we do that in the midst of all the stuff? Because all the stuff will always be here. Well, we start with an invitation. We invite folks that aren't supposed to be here, aren't supposed to be included, to come and experience something different from church. Acceptance. Enthusiastic acceptance, as in exactly as you are. We want you part of this community, please. Inclusion. Value. Celebration, unconditional love. So who are the folks who aren't supposed to be included? Well, that includes everyone, of course. So invite people you see at the grocery store. Can you do this? You can invite people you see at the grocery store to experience something here. Maybe it's one of our 125th anniversary events. Maybe it's something different that's going on. Maybe it's an event that happens here that isn't directly connected to church. Maybe it's church. Maybe you should invite the people you cut off when you're driving. I don't know how you do that. I'm really sorry. Would you come to church with me? You might not get the response that you're looking for. Invite people you meet at bars. Invite people you meet at strip clubs. I don't know if any of you go there. Invite those people. When I worked in Salmonok, there was a strip club down the street from the church. And, well, I always said I was going to do it, but I never did. I was going to drive over there with flyers for the church or just, you know, be me and say, like, hey, would you like to come to St. Paul's on Sunday? They'd be like, what? But I can't drive up there in the pastor's car and go in there. So I didn't. There was a stigma associated. But invite people from everywhere. Invite people that you don't recognize in the liquor store. Invite people who go outside to smoke during church, at another church maybe, or who just like to go outside to smoke. Invite people at gas stations, the post office, you know, the people who are waiting on you, and it's really, really slow and you're annoyed. Maybe there. Invite people at school or wherever. Invite people who say that they never liked, felt welcome at, or saw any need for this community of faith we call church. How about this, getting back to the beginning, unclean spirit, mental illness. How about equipping ourselves to be more welcoming as individuals and as a community? We could start, we have teamed up with NAMI DuPage, National Alliance on Mental Illness DuPage, and starting on March 1st, we have our first mental health first aid training. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. It's for the whole community, but I want to let you know about it because there's only room for about maybe 25 people in that class, maybe 30, but I want you to sign up for that. It's not the only one we're going to do. March 1st is one. Then there's going to be one in April, May, June. We're teaming up with NAMI to help our community be more aware, more welcoming, inclusive, supportive, and engaged for mental health. May everyone who comes here experience something different, something wonderful, something challenging, something life-giving, something restorative, something inclusive. May all who are present here, all who are invited through the doors, all who come through the doors experience something that shows people paying attention to one another, something that calls people to loving, welcoming, and justice-related action, all of it. Last week we talked about Dr. King and his dream. There's another dream. I have a dream that all who come here will be wonderfully surprised as they experience something marvelous that they can't quite explain, but instead remark with an inspired smile, "What is this?" Amen.